Welcome, everyone, to this 300th episode of the African Roots Podcast. My name is Angela Walton-Raji, and you can always reach me at africanrootspodcast@gmail.com. Well, as I said, this is the 300th consecutive weekly episode of the African Roots Podcast. I really can't believe it. Almost 6 years ago, just about, it will be 6 years in April, 300 weeks ago. Oh my God. Yes, I started this podcast and I have been so very, very moved that some of you, in fact, have been regular listeners. I continually meet people who come up to me and to say, oh, I listen to your podcast every week. Wow, I am very humbled by it and really just amazed. And I can't believe it. But yes, this is the 300th episode of the podcast. I'm just so thankful to all of you. Also, those of you who've been sharing events, programs, and announcements with me. Oh my goodness. I'm just so honored to be here and to still be rolling with the podcast. I simply want to say thank you. Thank you, all of you. Well, not only is this a milestone episode, we just entered, yesterday, a milestone year. We've made it this far, and so far we are still able to tell the story. Now, some of you may know fully what I'm talking about, but just in case you don't, well, we have come upon something that's really, really a big deal. This year, for those of you who don't know, well, we are celebrating the 150th year of freedom. Of freedom for all. 150 years ago, the nation changed entirely. Now, I wrote about this in my blog, on my personal blog, yesterday, but I feel that I'm obligated to share it here as well. We know that the Civil War came to an end when Robert E. Lee surrendered at Appomattox Courthouse, Virginia. Yes, the war was over, but, you know, there's so much more to the story than that. And sadly, U.S. history, high school students grow up just sort of learning that. Civil War ended 1865, slaves were freed, and so on to the next era. Let's talk about Reconstruction. But let's slow down. 1865. Millions of people found freedom with the stroke of a pen. That is major. In 1865, the 13th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution was passed, and that amendment abolished slavery forever in this land. Because of the 13th Amendment, the 14th and 15th Amendments would later be ratified. Now, the 14th Amendment gave official citizenship to the millions of people who were once enslaved. That's major. Suddenly, the population exploded by 4 million people. The 15th Amendment would give men once enslaved the right to vote. Of course, women would have to wait a few years. We know that. But nevertheless, those once enslaved suddenly had a chance to voice their opinion on their fate at the ballot box. So it's really significant to me that we realize and pause and marvel at the fact that in 1865, 150 years ago this year, the trajectory of the nation changed forever. Now, we're all busy. We all have our projects that we're involved in. And I just find the fact that we are now at the point of honoring this, what I call, era of freedom. Well, I hope that all people in the genealogy community all will explore this era of freedom. There are freedom era records that pertain to the country that will benefit all people. This is not a black thing any more than the Civil War would be called a white thing. My goodness, the fact that the nation became better is significant. But the fact is that there are pages, millions of pages, literally, that are being uploaded on two sites, Family Search and the Internet Archive. And the Reconstruction Era records, or the Freedom Era records, really, because some of them are military records, some of them are records of the field offices of the Freedmen's Bureau, some of them are Freedmen's Bank, some of them are education records, some of them are medical records. I could go on and on. The fact is that millions of pages exist for you to find your ancestors, no matter who they were. So how do we honor this year in a really good way? Well, I just say it's time for us to really pursue those missing stories and get into those records that are going to reflect the era of freedom. And, you know, there's so many perspectives to take this. Now, if you, like me, descend from ancestors who were enslaved, well, of course, you've got to find the freedom story. Ask yourself the question, they were slaves in 1860 and they were free in 1870. The question to ask is, what happened? How did they become unenslaved? Well, the story lies right there in the same community where they were enslaved. The answer is in the local Civil War history. You want to research the history of regiments that were formed in that locale. You want to find the contraband camps, and you want to learn where those inhabitants of those camps came from, because in many cases, they lived in a contraband camp, they came from someplace else. There's a lot to do in terms of slave ancestral research, and oh my goodness, it can open doors for you. Now, many people will say, well, my ancestors were free. They were free people of color, or my ancestors weren't enslaved at all. They were white. They were immigrants and came in the 1700s or 1800s. Well, we already know that all people of color were not enslaved. And many people, white and black, were active in the various efforts to bring freedom, whether it was the abolitionist movement, the anti-slavery association, the anti-slavery society. There were so many things that were going on. There were free people of color who worked also in the anti-slavery movement. And of course, in the military, during the Civil War itself, the officers of the United States Colored Troops, of which there were over 170 regiments and almost 200,000 men of color who served in those regiments, the officers were white. Many researchers have never found their own military history. Number one, they don't know that their ancestors served as officers in the U.S. colored troops, and they've never been pursued. And of course, there are other records of civilians, also free people. Free women of color worked in some of the early freedmen schools, but some of the early teachers were white teachers who came from northern states and worked to bring literacy to those once enslaved. All genealogists need to really get into the act of researching this era of freedom. And this is a charge. This is a call to action for all of us. Between the years of not just 1861 and 1865, but even as late as 1868, there are so many pages that are now being digitized. You can find them on Family Search, as I mentioned. You can find them at archive.org, which many of you know is the Internet Archive. So many pages that are recording the dismantling of slavery, and these records are amazing. Some people who ended up in contraband camps. These are people who emancipated themselves. And as soon as they got the opportunity to do so, they took advantage of it and they walked away. And of course, as I said, there were some who were never enslaved, but they were involved with initiation or initiating of freedom for people who were enslaved. You can find these stories. Oh my gosh, you've got the Freedmen's Bureau, you've got Freedmen's Savings, you've got early voter records, and so much more. It just goes on and on and on. And for those of us whose ancestors were enslaved, we can look at pages where marriages were recorded for the first time. There are records where individuals had to negotiate a working wage for the first time. And if your ancestor held slaves, there are records for you to look at. Perhaps you may want to see a document that your ancestor signed where, yes, he had to suddenly pay black farm workers for their labor. But you can see those signatures upon those documents. These records are amazing. They should not be overlooked. It's part of history. And the history belongs to all of us. And also, for many of you who have ancestors from the South, who are white Southerners, there's another long-forgotten story from the Civil War. Many whites were recipients of rations provided by the Freedmen's Bureau, and they too have their names recorded in these records. It is absolutely amazing. And I have seen in some communities where there were more whites than blacks appearing on some of the ration lists when the Bureau was providing rations right after the war to refugees. So many, many, many of these records are coming to light, and I'm just thrilled to be able to talk about them and encourage you to explore the era of freedom. And of course, I know many people might say, well, gee, you know, I don't know where to go. My folks are from Virginia, but where in Virginia would they have gone? They lived in a rural community. They were not near Richmond. They were not near Norfolk or Hampton. They were in a small community outside of Botetourt County. Or my folks were from rural Tennessee. They were not near Nashville. They didn't live in Pulaski. They were in a very rural community in Giles County, north of the Alabama line. Where would I find them? And it is true, it is a challenge for you to locate them. But the fact is that if you look, you're going to find some amazing records that are there. We're talking about field offices of the Freedmen's Bureau, Freedmen Savings and Trust branches, Freedmen schools, Freedmen hospitals, contraband camps, and don't forget the places where freedom was often won on those battle sites. And I'm referring to battle sites where men of the United States colored troops were engaged in battle. These are places that are still what I call freedom era records. And of course, those would be military. Well, guess what? I am so thrilled to share some news with you, because everything I've been saying, it can be found. I won't say 100% with ease. No, it's still a challenge to find them. But there's a guide that I am so thrilled to announce with my colleague, Tony Carrier of Low Country Africana, who's very, very good at just what she does with websites, and it's just incredible. But a very, hopefully, useful tool has been created. I'm happy to announce a new online guide. This is an interactive guide for Freedom Era research. The website is called Mapping the Freedmen's Bureau. Oh my goodness. This website is going, I hope, to really assist many of you in learning a lot more about the communities where your ancestors came from. For example, if you're not really sure where to look, well, think of a map of the United States. Think of your home state or your ancestral state. Think of that community, that county. And when that map comes up, why don't you click on it and see what happens? Well, guess what? You can do that now. You can now go and take a look at a map of the United States, and you're going to see a bunch of icons that are sort of filling the, I'll say, the southeastern portion of what is now the United States. Well, the closer you zoom in, you're going to realize that these icons, and when you hit that little plus sign, you'll see that those icons are indicating field offices of the Freedmen's Bureau. Now, several months ago, I had written an article on my personal blog where I had marked the location of the Freedmen's Bureau field offices in Arkansas. Well, it's very interesting because I was very pleased. I got a lot of good responses, but Tony insisted that I do the same thing for the rest of the country. And I know I couldn't do it alone. And upon her insistence and her nudging, and I appreciate that, we decided to work together. And we have pinned every field office that basically the Freedmen's Bureau served, every office that existed. If you zoom in on a home state and just hit the plus sign when you go to this new site, mappingthefreedmensbureau.com, you'll see an icon will appear and will tell you a little bit more about the site. There is a map showing not only the field offices, but you're going to see maps that have sort of, I guess, little, they look like little thatched huts. Those are contraband camps that you're going to see. There is a drop down that's going to appear, and you can find other sites, Freedmen Bank locations where there were branches. You can find sites where there were hospitals and schools. This is all going to hopefully point out some data for you and your research and let you know whether or not your ancestors may have lived close to a field office. If they lived close to a field office, white or black, you want to go and take a look at these records. It is absolutely exciting. And if you've never looked at Freedmen's Bureau records before, click on the item or on the tab that says sample documents, and you will be able to see what those documents look like and how incredibly name rich they are. Now, not every page of the Freedmen's Bureau records are name rich. Some of them are mundane letters that dealt with day-to-day affairs that were being handled by military people in terms of supplies and what have you. But when you land on a name rich record, oh my goodness, it's just a joy to find. Now, the Freedmen's Bureau records, I also recommend, especially if you're not map-oriented, you might want to find out, well, okay, I'd like to know whatever else may be in my home state. Maybe your ancestors, different branches of your family came from different parts of that state. Well, you are encouraged to click on the tab for research guides. And those research guides will take you to the National Archives publications. All you do when you click on that particular page, it'll take you to every state, and you click on that state, and guess what will come up? Oh my goodness, you'll get the National Archives publication describing by state the number of reels of microfilm that are there for you, and what's on every reel of microfilm, what field office is reflected. And that, you can write that information down and go on to either Family Search or the Internet Archive and take a look at these reels of microfilm. This is created to be really something that's going to assist you. As I said, the site is called Mapping the Freedmen's Bureau. It's an interactive guide, and really utilize it. Start with the maps. Take a look at your home state. Use the plus sign. Zoom in on the state and see what was there. The contraband camps, the banks, and of course the many, many field offices themselves. Some states had quite a few. Some states didn't have many at all. I was surprised to see how few there were in the state of Florida. But then I realized later, talking with a Floridian, that well, most of Florida was swamps in the Everglades until a lot of that land was eventually drained. And so your plantations or your estates were primarily in the Panhandle and along the northern border with Georgia, and a little bit on the interior in Daytona, and there was one office in the Florida Keys. Absolutely amazing information to find. Anyway, oh my goodness gracious, there is so much that can be gleaned, and I'm just hoping you're going to take advantage of it. I hope you're going to use it. I hope this becomes a truly useful interactive guide. And again, who's this for? This is for everyone. And I'm just excited to share it with you. I'm also excited that, that you'll be able to have a new tool that I hope is going to really give you some assistance in putting your ancestors back on the historical landscape where they lived. Oh my goodness, it's just, I will say, the data to be found once you get to these records is just dramatic. The site is devoted to pointing out the many places that affected these survivors of slavery. And so as a result, these offices are marked for you. And the other institutions that serve these former slaves are also marked on those drop-down map menus, so take a look at them. Hopefully, this will be an enhancement to your research. What we're hoping to do is to at least allow many researchers to discover, number one, if their ancestors lived near these sites, but also local historians, those who are researching and documenting your community history. Well, you might discover some forgotten history about your own community. You know, this is just to be a tool to effectively tell the story, and we really hope this will be a tool for you. I am so honored to have worked with Tony on this site. We're going to be tweaking it. We ask you to visit it and let us know. Let us know if it's working well. Let us know if something seems to be not working at all. But we are rolling it out today. Happy New Year. This is hopefully going to be a useful tool and really a guide to take you to these other two sites, Family Search and Internet Archive. And no, we are not working with them. We are not paid by them. But this is something that has been a major labor of love. I am so happy we are launching it today on this 300th episode of my podcast. I'm more than honored to be able to share this with you. And in this year of freedom, hopefully we've given you a new tool to assist you in finding some of those records created in the era of freedom. And speaking of Family Search in particular, I urge you to tune in to last night's episode of Bernie Spinnett's show, Research at the National Archives and Beyond. Her guests were two representatives from Family Search, and they certainly did talk about what's being digitized, but they did address some of the era of freedom records. They discussed the Freedmen's Bureau records that are being digitized every day, and they also discussed the Freedmen's Savings Records. One caller had inquired about the, or I guess it was maybe a participant in the chat, had inquired about the CD, whether or not information on Family Search was replacing the CD, and there was a response to that as well. So tune in if you missed it. And of course, you know that her show airs every Thursday evening at 9 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. On that note, I'm bringing this podcast to a close again. Wow. Thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being there every week and sharing information with me about what's going on. Let us hear from you. We have links where you can fill up data and contact us directly. And, you know, hey, let's get busy and start researching the era of freedom. The ancestors are waiting for their stories to be told. Wow. And of course, you know what I'm going to say, because once you get on this new site, mappingthefreedmensbureau.com, you will continue to keep researching. And of course, I know you're going to keep documenting. And my goal, which I hope is yours also, is to please keep sharing what you find. Happy New Year, everyone. Thank you for listening to my 300th episode of the African Roots Podcast. Be well, be safe, and I will talk to you next time. Bye-bye.